from KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Grape Bar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Grape Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's go.
On a Friday night, we welcome you in. It's time for a Grey Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Happy for a full two-hour edition of the program tonight. We'll spend a lot of time together this evening as we've got Sports Open Line, and then we've got Cardinals baseball coverage starting at 8:20, first pitch at 9:15. We'll see what time we're going to be wrapping up the post-game show tonight. I'll still be there for the post-game. It might be 1 o'clock in the morning. I will still be there to take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets after the game tonight. So about 7 hours from now, if you want to reconvene with me for Cardinals postgame, you certainly can do that. But we've got a lot to get to before we even get to that point. As always, if you do want to join in on what we've got going on today, you can call, text, or tweet. Calling, texting, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. And that's how you get at me. Got a couple things I want to get to today. We've got two guests lined up. Our first guest is going to be in about 20 minutes. Blair Kirchhoff, great sports columnist with the Kansas City Star, is going to join us. He's been on the program many times. We'll talk Chiefs football with him. We'll also talk a little bit about what the Royals have been able to do this year, which is pretty impressive. But the vast majority of our program today is going to be centered around the report that was published earlier today on The Athletic. Just fantastic reporting by Katie Wu of The Athletic, as she spoke with a number of people with the Cardinals, Cardinals staffers, most of which spoke to her anonymously, but it did really give kind of an overview of what's going on in the organization and what is leading to the issues of why this team has not been winning as much recently as they did previously. I really appreciated what Katie wrote. Katie is going to join us in about an hour and 7 minutes. 7:20 is when Katie is going to join us on the program. And we'll get some thoughts from her on what she wrote and also some of the reaction. Because if you're on social media, this has been the story of the day on social media. And I threw out a question, by the way. And if you're on Twitter, this is the best way to get at me on this. So based off everything that came out earlier today, and we'll dive in a little deeper than this, but I'll just throw this out now in case you want to chime in, because we're going to be reading a lot of the responses that I got to this question later on. If the Cardinals focus on fixing some infrastructure issues that exist in the organization, staffing at the minor league level, the use of technology, they are far behind on that, other things that help the player development system and help guys become the best version of themselves, which is a term I use all the time. You probably get sick of me saying it. If the Cardinals were to spend this offseason putting almost all of their attention into that, and it results in the roster next year being really a bunch of young guys, that they don't add a lot in terms of established major leaguers from what is already going to be there. Maybe even they move on from some of the established major leaguers that are already there. But if they are clear and concise and transparent about it, can you accept that? Would you be, you know, not that it's a rebuild, but certainly reset is the word that we keep hearing over and over and over and over. If it is a true reset and it results in maybe them taking a step back next season, but a lot of young players playing, assuming that that is communicated to you as fans, are you okay with that? And if you are or not, feel free to hop on Twitter, at Matt Pauly on air, and tweet at me. I put that question out, so if you want to reply to that question, it's been quite the response. I've already got 44 responses to that. Put that up not that long ago. So we'll probably won't read all 44, but we'll read a lot of them coming up later on. It's really a good jumping off point for this conversation. I'm going to ask you to have an open mind on something. and this is not me being a honk for Oliver Marmol. If you listen to this show, if you listen to my Cardinals postgame shows, you know where I stand on Oliver Marmol. I think he's a good manager. I don't think he's the problem. Okay. There's a lot of people who disagree with me. That's your right to disagree with me. And I even understand why you disagree with me. We're not having that argument today. There's bigger fish to fry in terms of our conversation today. But where I would ask you to have an open mind is based off, I've long said, and I just said it again, I've long said, the issues in this organization are so beyond the scope of Oliver Marmol. It goes way beyond that. And I think I would be hopeful. You don't have to believe everything I say. You don't have to agree with everything I say. Life would be pretty boring if we all just agreed with each other. So it's not my job to get you to agree with me. It's my job to get you to understand why I say what I say. And it's, at the same time, it's my job to understand why you say what you say if you disagree with me. It's a two-way street. So I would ask you to have an open mind on this, because there's going to be a lot of people out there who scoff at the idea that having more advanced technology that's available to minor leaguers, that having more roving coaches to jump around from minor league team to minor league team and work as an instructor. There are going to be a lot of people that scoff at the idea that those type of things really impact winning and losing at the major league level. There's going to be people who think you win and lose at the major league level by your manager making decisions, by free agent signings, by things like that. That everything that happens at the big league level kind of happens in its own filter, own funnel, whatever word you want to use. And it doesn't work that way. In some places, it can work that way. In some really big marketplaces, it can work that way. If your system is not providing impact players, you've got the ability to go out and just fix it by signing a check. Yeah, that happens. We could even argue that it could happen in St. Louis. I don't know if they're ever going to spend that kind of money, but I've never had a problem with the amount of money the Cardinals spend. I think they spend a perfectly legitimate amount of money on the major league roster. When people complain about the amount of money that's being spent on the major league roster, I never completely and totally understand it. Again, it's not that they can't spend more, but do they need to spend more? My argument is that no, they don't need to spend more. I'm fine if they do. Go ahead. Like, if you want to go spend a bunch of money on the major league roster, that's awesome. Not against it. They don't have to. They have to spend their money a little bit smarter. When you think about the amount of money just next year that are owed to players like Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz, who have not helped produce a whole lot of wins, that's a problem. There have been some bad contracts that have been given out at the major league level. But more importantly, what can you do to have these players more major league ready when they get here? Why do the Milwaukee Brewers have success? Why do the Tampa Bay Rays have success? And I know this year is a little bit of a down year for Tampa. They're a little bit below 500. But generally speaking, the Rays have been incredibly successful with playoff wins. Why have the Rays been so successful? Before the Oakland A's just decided that they wanted to burn their place down, why were they so successful? It's because of the desire and the dedication to do things right in scouting, development, drafting, and then making sure that once guys get to the big league roster, they are put in positions and given every bit of information to be able to make themselves the best version of themselves. And that hasn't been happening with the Cardinals. And based off what I read today from Katie Wu, I think that's going to start happening. I think they're going to start getting on that path to that happening. So have an open mind on this. Have an open mind, because people who think that the stuff that's happening in the organization and, you know, using numbers and analytics and using technology and building a pitching lab and doing all those things, there's people who think that those are nice things, but there's ways to overcome not really being great in that areas, and you can still be successful at the big league level, and the focus needs to be on the major league roster, not the other stuff. I'd push back. And I'm excited about what we've heard today on this Katie Wu report. So I'll give you some more details on it. I want you to be, I don't want to take away, and we're going to talk to her again in about an hour. And I don't want to like read the thing verbatim, that you go subscribe to The Athletic and read it for yourself, because she did amazing work. And the way, it's journalism at its best. And if you are able to support it, I would say support it by subscribing to The Athletic. But we will go through some of the details coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Added on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, continuing to take you through this Friday evening, have you till 8 o'clock, and then have you again for Cardinals baseball with our coverage starting at about 8:20 this evening. Look, we're going to spend the vast majority, almost all of this program is going to be dedicated to what was reported today by Katie Wu in The Athletic. Hopefully you are a subscriber to The Athletic and have been able to read the report yourself. We will take one pause from this conversation in our next segment when Blair Kirchhoff, who is a sports columnist with the Kansas City Star, will join us to talk a couple things going on in Kansas City. I want to talk about the Royals a bit. They've had a really nice season. They will be a playoff team, and it's just been good to see what they have been able to do. What can we learn from what the Royals have done this season? So we will get into that with Blair Kirchhoff. We'll talk a little Chiefs football with him. But outside of that. And the Royals have not quite clinched a playoff spot, but they are very close to being able to do so. Outside of that, we're going to spend most of the time today talking about this report from Katie Wu. For those of you who have not read it, I want to read some of the quotes. And again, whenever I'm discussing a piece of journalism that is behind a paywall, like The Athletic is, I'm always concerned about giving too much away, because I appreciate the work so much that people do. And man, Katie Wu, to put this together is absolutely fantastic, and to be able to talk to the people that she spoke to. And again, almost everybody that she spoke to, she gave anonymity to so that they would be able to speak openly. So I'm just going to read some of the quotes from anonymous team staffers just to give you an idea of what some of the things are being said by people who are inside the walls there, and why it is so important that they start to dismantle, reset, and rebuild what they are doing from a player development system standpoint, and why that is going to result in this team being able to get back on track and being the winning organization that we are used to them being. One team employee said to Katie, "We're in trouble. This is not easily fixable within the next year or year after. This is going to take some time." Another quote, "I don't know how this was blanked up so bad over the last few years." Another person, "People would always ask in the minors, do you care about winning or do you care about developing players? The answer would be, we develop winning players. We are no longer developing winning players." That is a quote from an anonymous person. Elsewhere, one staffer, when talking about the player development system, "It's broken. Our system is broken in a way. How it got there, I don't know." Another staffer, or maybe the same staffer, I don't know how many people she spoke with, but another quote, "When guys get to the majors, they're not ready. They have so many warts that have to get taken care of in the big leagues." Says you can't cut yourself thin and expect 2 to 3 guys to cover all those areas. This is in discussion about not having enough staff at the minor league level. And the point was actually made that the Cardinals have just a handful of basically roving instructors, where teams like the Brewers have 15 or more. The one of the quotes, "You can't cut yourself thin and expect 2 to 3 guys to cover all those areas. It's hurting our minor leagues. It kills you not having guys individually going into cities, specifically focusing on areas of the game to tell guys to get better. A manager can only do so much within the course of the season. That's what coordinators are for, to be able to scour the system and hold people accountable, hold coaches accountable for teaching, hold players accountable for doing the work and executing. To leave it up to one guy, that's not fair to him. The one guy being Jose Oquendo, who does incredible work in the organization, but clearly could use some help. Another quote, it's a lack of resources. It's also the game itself, the way it's changed, is pushing these kids through the system, and then they've got, they're getting put into positions they shouldn't be in. It's detrimental to them because they get up here and they fail. Another quote, they're making mistakes that should have been fixed already, or they make a mistake that should have been fixed and they make it again and again and again. That's the stuff that should happen in the minor leagues. That's what the minor leagues are for. Another quote, we've gotten ourselves into a cycle. So that's what people inside the organization are saying right now. And I think there's a couple examples here. And again, we'll revisit this during much of the show today. The Cardinals don't have a roving outfield coordinator, roving outfield coach. So when Jordan Walker was sent to AAA, they had the coaching staff with Memphis, but they didn't have an individual who focused specifically on working with outfielders. They didn't have somebody that they could go park in Memphis for a few weeks and work with him every day, the way Willie McGee is working with him right now at the big league level. But he spent months at AAA Memphis, and he didn't have that. How much better? We saw him really struggle defensively yesterday. How much better would Jordan Walker be defensively if he would have had somebody working with him in the minor leagues on an everyday basis beyond just the coaching staff? That's what other organizations do. Ivan Herrera is somebody else who is widely mentioned in Katie's story. And they don't have a roving catching instructor, which is crazy. Crazy. Now, when Yadier Molina was around, I guess you didn't need it. Still would have been nice to have. But they don't have a roving catching instructor. So Ivan Herrera gets injured. Pedro Páez gets to the big league level. He does a really nice job. So when Herrera's healthy again, they just send him to Memphis. Would have been nice to have a guy down there to work with him every single day. Work hard with him every single day. Help him become a better defensive catcher. Yeah, there's guys on the coaching staff at Memphis who can do that, but nobody who's locked in and focused on that being their individual role. So it's things like that. So that's where it impacts the big leagues. How much better are the Cardinals if Ivan Herrera is a really good defensive catcher? No disrespect meant to Pedro Páez, but Herrera's bat plays at the big league level. If you got that bat, that impacts you. So that's where this year impacts you. How much more comfortable are you with Jordan Walker if you're more comfortable with who he is defensively? And these are just two examples, and they go on and on. So we'll pause from this conversation for a moment. Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star is going to join us, and then we're going to get back into this. The text messages, the tweets, they are flowing in. We'll start looking at those coming up later on. And again, Katie Wu is going to join us to discuss this coming up at 7:20. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, as you just heard with that promo. We are your home for Kansas City Chiefs football in St. Louis as they are set to match up against the Chargers. That's going to be a 3:25 kickoff coming up on Sunday, and our coverage will begin immediately following coverage of Cardinals baseball as they'll wrap up the season on Sunday when they take on San Francisco. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. You read him in the Kansas City Star. He is Blair Kirchhoff. You follow him on Twitter at Blair, KERKHOFF. Blair, thanks for taking the time. Welcome back on to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for the plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start by talking. We'll get to the Chiefs in a second, but I want to talk about the Royals because they are on the verge of clinching a playoff spot. It's not quite locked in the last I saw, but this has been an incredible story because they got off to a great start, but I don't think many people thought that they were going to keep it going. And even though they fell off a little bit, they've been able to stay basically in playoff position the vast majority of the season. What led to this kind of turnaround for the Royals?
Well, it started with a great offseason. Acquisitions like Seth Lugo and Mike Waka, as St. Louis fans are very familiar with, It started previous season when they got Cole Reagans in a trade for Adolis, for Chapman, the relief pitcher, Aroldis Chapman, excuse me. And then the emergence of Bobby Witt Jr. has been major this year. He came off a very nice 2023, and he's putting up an epic 2024. Probably will finish second in the MVP voting to Aaron Judge. But a lot of things came together for him this year, and you're right. They reversed a season. They were 106 losses last year. They're at 85 victories, and magic numbers won with the Twins. So they win one of these games against the Braves. The Twins lose one against the Orioles, and the Orioles are going to the playoffs. Nobody around here really believes it.
It's been fun watching these three teams in Kansas City, Detroit, and Minnesota go after two playoff spots, because those three teams all from the AL Central, they're all battling out for these playoff spots, even though it's not for the top spot in the AL Central. And we've seen Kansas City kind of tread water, Detroit just surge, and then Minnesota's really just fallen off.
That's right. You described it well. Detroit has played so well down the stretch. Great August and September. They are a hot team. They're a team I wouldn't want to see in the playoffs. Minnesota is falling apart at the seams, playing terrible baseball. And the Royals have endured a pair of seven-game losing streaks since the All-Star break, and still are this close to their first postseason appearance since the World Series team of 2015. It's been a long time. It's been since that long, really, since we've had meaningful baseball in Kansas City in September. It's just been a blast.
I want to put you on the spot a little bit on this, because the major story in St. Louis today was a report that came out written by Katie Wu of The Athletic about the Cardinals player development system and how it is lacking in such a big way, and how that has resulted in the disappointing results of recent years. Can you speak a little bit to the player development system in Kansas City and what they have in place and how much confidence there is in them being able to develop major league ready players?
Well, that's a good question. I think before this season, you would have questioned it. It was, like I said, it was a lot of the success of this season really is contingent on the acquisitions that were made, some trades, some free agent signings, and not so much player development. In fact, the Royals farm system, not so much. They're not highly rated at all in baseball. That's kind of been a hole for the organization over the last few years. But Bobby Witt did come out of this, came up from the draft, and Vinny Pasquantino also came up through the draft, from the draft and through development. So there have been some success stories, but it's funny when you compare the Cardinals and the Royals. People in Kansas City have been so envious of the consistency of the St. Louis organization for year after year after year. It just seems like the Cardinals are in contention, and more often than not, seemingly a postseason team, while the Royals are, they're out of it by August, and you're looking for the next bobblehead night to see when you're going to go to the ballpark. It's different to hear, there's some angst in St. Louis about this, and Kansas City on the verge of a playoff appearance.
It's bizarre world right now, for sure, and it's probably the last thing that my listeners want to hear me talking about, but it is the world that we're living in right now, and we're not shying away from it. All right, the Chiefs are 3-0, but they're playing with fire every single week. It's been close every single week. Something happens kind of crazy that helps them find a way to win. When you're talented, when you have good coaching, the breaks tend to go your way, but at the same time, it really feels like they got to start putting maybe a better effort on the field.
Exactly, and it starts with Patrick Mahomes, believe it or not. He said as much this week. He really has put the burden on his shoulders about why they're not playing better. Look, there's a lot of teams in the NFL, all but like four others, that would love to have the record that the Chiefs have. But and the fact that they've beaten the Ravens in the opening game, who they beat in the AFC title game a year ago, and the Bengals in week two, which is a nemesis for them over the last few years, and then winning in Atlanta on Sunday Night Football, a team that a lot of people think can win their division. There's got to be some level of satisfaction with what's been accomplished. But I think with with the Chiefs, there's a sense of they can be much better than what they've showed here. That Patrick Mahomes, who has you know, 5 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions, including 1 in each of the first 3 games, you know, poised to make his 100th start on Sunday at L.A., still has all the records for quarterbacks in their first 100 games, and he's done it through 99. So I think Chiefs fans are just they're okay with where they are because of the record, and there's a sense that things can be better, and they hope it starts on Sunday.
I want to punch myself for asking this question, but is Taylor Swift Travis Kelce's Yoko Ono?
It's funny. We talked to Travis today. He avails himself one day a week to the beat writers, people that cover the Chiefs, and he would spit on the ground before he admitted anything like that. He turns 35 a week from Sunday, I think it is. There's no doubt that the fact that he's been in the league for 12 years, he plays a position that's demanding, that where he gets a lot of punishment week after week. There's no doubt that that's had an impact on him. But I think there's a few things going on with him. That the reason he only has 8 receptions for 69 yards, and that is Mahomes has been uneven in his play, and the Chiefs' offense has been uneven. So defenses are playing, they're playing deep. They're playing the cover two. They're giving the Chiefs the middle of the field and they're playing a little bit of softness in the middle. Should be something that the Chiefs should be able to exploit and Kelce should be able to exploit. But those are going to Rashee Rice, the wide receiver, who's had an excellent season. Has 24 receptions. He's running the routes that Kelce used to run, and Kelce's getting the attention that would go to a number one wide receiver. So I think he's going to be okay. And I know fantasy folks don't hate seeing the production that he's had so far this year. He's not going to have the numbers he's had in the past. I think he'll be there in the most important times. And he played his best ball a year ago in the postseason. So I would not be surprised if that was the case this year, that he just sort of just moseys along throughout the regular season, maybe has a 60 or 70 catch season, and then come playoff time, it's the Travis Kelce that we've all known.
Is this running back group, is this wide receiver group good enough to make this offense look the way it has looked in recent years? Maybe not so much last year, but years before that?
Yeah, that's what we all thought going into the season. That the addition of Hollywood Brown with Xavier Worthy, the number one, the first round draft pick, they would go into this season and just basically replace or replicate the speed that they showed in the Tyreek Hill years in Kansas City. But then Hollywood Brown injures himself on the first play of the preseason. And is basically gone for the year. If he comes back at all, it would be in late December, early January. And Xavier Worthy's a rookie, and it just takes rookies an extended amount of time to get comfortable in the Andy Reid system. So basically what they're left with is kind of the same wide receiver lineup as they had a year ago with Rashee Rice, who, again, is having a terrific year, and he's a year better. He's been great. Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, kind of the same familiar names that the Chiefs fans remember from a year ago. And look, it turned out okay at the end for the Chiefs with an offense that wasn't, the high flying, aerial act of 2018, 2019, 2020. It ended well for the Chiefs. I think they're in store for some of that again this year with some improvement. Again, the big thing is Rice being a year better. Tell you what, though, if he gets hurt, they could be in a world of trouble.
Blair Kirchhoff is an excellent sports writer. You read him at the Kansas City Star, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, thanks for the time. I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Very good. Blair Kirchhoff joining us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we are going to pretty much do all Cardinals and jump back into what was reported earlier today by Katie Wu, her just fantastic piece of journalism that ran inside of The Athletic, talking with anonymous staffers from the Cardinals about the changes that are coming. And we knew that changes were coming. John Mozeliak was on with Tom Ackerman this past Sunday, and he discussed how the month of October is largely going to be committed to resetting some things in the front office. And we haven't even mentioned, there was so much in this piece by Katie, and she's going to join us in about 25 minutes, and we'll get some more thoughts from her on it. But one of the things that did come out in it is that Heim Bloom, who has been working for the team as an advisor, is going to come on in a full-time role, and he is going to oversee essentially the implementation of the player development reset. Now, I say all that, I want to continue to reiterate the fact that the reporting done with Katie, I believe 100% of it, and I think everything she said is going to play out from a journalistic standpoint. It has not yet been confirmed by the Cardinals. We just have to wait on that. I think it will be, and I think we are likely to have a press conference with the team coming up on Monday. I think that is the likely result. That's not guaranteed. Maybe they wait a little bit. Maybe there are some ducks that they need to get in a row before they feel like they can announce everything that they do want to announce. Maybe there are some exit interviews that they want to have take place. But and look, I've got all these tweets coming at me over the last hour and a half where I threw some things out and wanted to get responses, and we'll read through a lot of those coming up next hour. One of the things I'm hearing over and over and over is that a good percentage of Cardinals fans, at least the ones who are commenting on some of the questions that I threw out on social media, a good percent of Cardinals fans are ready to support this team, even if the big league team maybe takes a step back, as long as there is transparency, as long as it is communicated to the fan base exactly what's going to take place, and maybe even what growing pains to exist as a new system is put in place. And I think that's important, and I'm hopeful that when we do get word from the Cardinals, that again, transparency is a word you're going to hear, that there is just a ton of transparency, because I think in many ways that's going to make the fan base feel a little bit better. All right, we'll start hearing your comments. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.